I'm Tony Hendra.
And I'm Jeff Kreisler.
And this is the final edition Radio Hour.
30 minutes of sizzling satire with teeth.
Hello, I'm Piers Morgan, and I haven't yet been deported. With me tonight are some of the celebrities who attended President Obama's State of the Union address as special guests. They are, in no particular order, Ted Nugent, Tony Bennett, Lady Gaga, Taylor Swift, Mumford & Sons, Coldplay, Faith Hill, Tim McGraw, Rihanna, Chris Brown, Prince, Beyonce, LL Cool J, Charo, ex-Pope Benedict XVI, Lucifer, Goebbels, Pat Robertson, Abraham Lincoln, John Wilkes Booth, Shirley Booth, Powers Booth, Charles Nelson Reilly, William Jennings Bryan, Lynette Squeaky Fromm, Lech Walesa, Bazooka Joe, Stephanie Cutter, Genghis Khan, Mayor Koch, Chelsea Handler, and Jerry Mathers as the Beaver. So, Ted Nugent, what did you think of Obama's speech?
Obama was so full of
That's enough. Tony Bennett.
Beautiful, just beautiful. I worked with the president in Tahoe.
Abraham Lincoln.
This reminds me of a story about a pig.
Genghis Khan.
Ah!
Beaver Cleaver.
Sorry, Mr. Nugent. My dad says Obama's right about semi-automatic weapons.
Mr. Nugent, please leave Lincoln alone.
It's all right. I've had worse.
I'd like to thank all my guests, but I don't have time to say your names again. Good night.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh! Assault weapons sales spike ahead of Walking Dead season premiere.
Study finds most Chicago residents have never been murdered by guns.
World's most accurate Elvis impersonator just lays around like he's dead.
Welcome to With My Child, where we explore new ideas in child rearing. My guest tonight is Maureen Kilmartin, who plans to raise her son without exposing him to artificial light of any kind.
Including fire.
Including fire.
Exactly. Just sunlight in the day, moonlight at night, and the small amount of radiation that naturally emits from the human body.
Uh-huh. Why?
Control. Man-made light is imposed upon us without our say-so. I want my son to be empowered, if you will.
Interesting. Let's go to the phones. Jackie from Juneau, Alaska. Do you have a question for our guest?
I just want to say I'm angry that someone is raising a child like this when they're on welfare on my tax dollar.
Wait a minute, caller. I don't think Maureen is on welfare.
No, I run a chain of Laotian bathhouses.
Welfare queens, living it up on the public dime. I could be sitting at home, smoking weed, eating government cheese, sniffing my fingers. I like sniffing my fingers as much as the next gal.
Caller, our guest is not on welfare.
These people make me sick. What do their fingers smell like?
Thank you for your call. Maureen, I believe you also plan to raise your son without letting him see pictures of any U.S. presidents.
That's exactly right.
Alive or dead, any political party.
Again, it's about empowerment. The man in that picture is not who decides your destiny.
We have another caller. Mark from Lakewood, California. What's your question?
I want to know why people like your guests think they can come into my community and take away my guns.
Maureen didn't say anything about guns.
The Second Amendment of the Constitution guarantees the right to bear any arms whatsoever, up to and including mustard gas, which the Constitution mentions specifically. So I want to know why your guest thinks she's smarter than all the founding fathers put together.
Again, we are not talking about guns. My guest just wants to raise her son without artificial light, pictures of presidents, or corn, I think, right?
Correct. No corn.
Did you know if you rearrange the letters in the word gun, they still spell gun?
Thank you for calling. Maureen, why corn?
Wheat was taken.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay. We have another call. Hello?
I just shot my gun with my other gun.
Oops, same guy. Next caller, what's your question for our guest?
Hello?
Hello, you're on the air. Do you have a question?
Hello? Hello, am I on?
Yes, you are.
Hello?
Hello, do you hear me?
Yeah, I hear you. Hello?
Hello, do you have a question for our guest?
That depends. Is she Mexican?
Thank you for calling. Well, Maureen, thanks for stopping by. You've written a book about your child-rearing techniques, is that right?
Yes, it's called Why Your Baby Needs to Suffer from AIDS. It's available on Amazon.
Ooh, looks like we have another caller.
It's time for another story from the Final Edition's Big Book of Improving Virtues. Tonight, The Goose That Laid the Golden Eggs, in which we learn that greed, coupled with the right technology, works wonders. A man and his wife had the good fortune to own a goose that laid a golden egg every day. The eggs varied slightly in quality, from around 14 carats to around 18 carats. They varied even more in weight, depending on the thickness of the shell. The eggs were not, as many have assumed, solid. Some days the egg might weigh as much as 8 or 9 ounces, sometimes as little as 3. Depending on the daily price fixing in London, which at that time fluctuated considerably between a low of about $210 an ounce to a high of around $326, this could mean extraordinary instability in their monthly income, or rather that of Acme Precious Metal Inc., the Delaware corporation through which they traded. Seeking to both maximize and stabilize their cash flow, the man and his wife decided to find out more about the internal physiology of the goose. They reasoned that it was possible the goose was composed entirely of gold. Since the animal weighed almost 20 pounds, this could give them a one-time capital infusion, which had some advantages over an unpredictable revenue flow, especially in the light of Acme's rising costs. For example, processing the impure metal, broker's commissions, etc. They hired a reputable veterinarian, who took the goose to his clinic, placed it under general anesthetic, and made a large incision from the bird's sternum all the way to the base of its vertebrae, thus exposing the ovarian tract. He was not surprised to find that its internal anatomy was entirely normal. The man and his wife, however, were taken aback and demanded that the veterinarian perform a more invasive procedure, specifically on the ovarian tract. He refused unless they agreed to sign a waiver, freeing him from all liability in the event that this had catastrophic consequences. For example, trauma to the reproductive system, which might prevent the goose from laying any further eggs. Optional moral ending A. While they were discussing the waiver, the bird experienced acute respiratory failure and died. Thus, the man and his wife neither achieved a one-time capital infusion, nor did they any longer have any monthly revenue. They brought a malpractice suit against the anesthesiologist, but it was thrown out of court. Optional moral ending B. The veterinarian convinced the man and his wife that the risks of a more invasive procedure far outweighed the benefits. He closed and sutured the incision. After a week or so, the goose recuperated and began again to lay the golden eggs. Acme continued to experience erratic revenue flow, but later diversified into municipal bonds and achieved a measure of financial stability. Optional moral ending C. The man and his wife signed the waiver, and the veterinarian proceeded to examine the bird's reproductive system more closely. He found that the golden eggs had actually occluded the bird's ovarian tract, and that 9 fully formed normal eggs were thus prevented from being laid. He removed the eggs, closed the incisions, and placed the normal eggs in an incubator. The goose recovered fully and resumed laying golden eggs. All 9 normal eggs hatched successfully, and at an early age the goslings also began to lay golden eggs. For unexplained reasons, the quality of the gold improved to a fairly consistent 21 carats, and sheer volume ironed out the peaks and valleys in the egg weight curve. Through regular caesarean section of the normal eggs, the flock of geese grew to number some 1,200 birds. Acme Precious Metal experienced an annual growth in excess of 1,000% for 7 straight years, went public, doubled its stock several times, and made the man and his wife incredibly wealthy. The end.
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh!
Iranian space monkey starting to wonder if he'll ever make it home.
Last surviving Hitler clone accidentally joins J-Date.
NRA admits guns do kill people after M4 assault rifle escapes armory, strangles hooker.
Treehaven Police Department instructional video number 16, how to find and arrest big-time teenage drug dealers. Welcome to this instructional video. Each of you has been chosen to go undercover at the local high school because of your youthful looks and shallow, reckless rookie ambition. Now, when you first arrive at the school, the drug dealers may not be the people who actually sell the drugs, since they may not be willing to sell the drugs to you. Instead, your dealers may be lonely kids who have trouble making friends.
Hey, you don't seem to have any friends. Why is that?
I'm mildly autistic.
You know where to get pot?
No, I can't tinker with my medication.
Another way to uncover a drug dealer is to wait for an awkward teenager to become sexually attracted to you.
Hey! So you just transferred to the school, huh?
So do you sell ecstasy?
Yeah, sure! I'm cool!
Both of these officers have made a good start. Now they need to apply peer pressure, which, as we know, is the cause of all drug use.
Guess you haven't had a lot of friends before, because real friends come through with weed.
I'm asking around to see who has it, but I have a social anxiety disorder, and I vomit when I approach new people.
Get me the fucking weed!
Or perhaps a softer approach.
It's going to be so awesome when you get me that ecstasy, and we're going to be together.
Even with my psoriasis?
Most important of all, they cannot just give you the drugs. You have to make sure they take money for it.
Just take the pot. I don't want the money. I want to go home.
Take the money or I'll bust your fucking arm!
Or you can try a softer approach.
Take the money or I'll bust your fucking arm!
Now you have the drugs. They have the money. You can perform your righteous duty and remove these psychotic miscreants from the streets. You are also free to seize any money or possessions they have with them, including their parents' car. Did you buy the drugs at their house? That's yours now.
But you were the one who said to get you pot.
I'm going to become sergeant, and you're going to die.
I thought you loved me. Now you've destroyed my family.
Nobody is ever going to love you. Look at your skin.
The psoriasis... I know.
Drug problem solved. Now get out there and happy hunting. Bring in a case or you're done.
This is the final edition Radio Hour.
It's time for another episode of Sister Mary Che Explains It All For You.
Hello, ladies. It's your little old left-lib nun again, Sister Mary Che, coming to you live from the mother house of my wonderful, wonderful order, the Little Sisters of Noam Chomsky. Big news in nun world this week, ladies. Our nemesis, Benji the Rottweiler of God, is resigning to spend more time with his family. Oh no. Wait. The moment we ladies of the veil heard this news, we went, I think the expression is batshit. You see, Benji had been making life hell, or purgatory, now that hell's been abolished, for us American nuns. He ordered a nationwide visitation, translation, traveling inquisition, to congregations he considered heretical, translation, lefties. And the Little Sisters of Noam Chomsky were prime targets. We couldn't imagine why. And then the visitator, or as we called her, Sister Axe, told us it was because Sister Germaine and Sister Gloria had been communicating with known homosexuals. Well, holy duh! If you can't talk to your patients, it's a bit hard to run an AIDS hospice, isn't it? Okay, some nuns do have slightly extreme views. There's a teaching order in Wisconsin called the Little Sisters of We're Nuns! Get used to it, okay? which works very well for them in inner-city neighborhoods where they teach. But they also claim the latest biblical research proves conclusively Jesus was a woman, and from now on should be called the Messiah. So, because they're all lesbians, and they're all brides of Christ, they're all in same-sex marriages. Very threatening to Benji. He wanted nuns back in our traditional roles, cooking and cleaning toilets for priests, and occasionally doing them, favors. And always in those horrid, sweaty, itchy habits. The Vatican version of the burqa. But Benji's given up. No stamina. Not infallible. God's Rottweiler is off to the Shady Pines doggy rest home. We won. Now, we're playing the old Catholic guessing game. Who's your papa? Which one of the very old, very unmarried, 90% white, 90% European men will be the next pope? The next Holy Father of Holy Mother Church? Pretty clear where we are in that relationship, right, ladies? Not on top. Yes, we have nothing to say about who it's going to be. Even if the next pope is black or brown, there'll still be two classes in the church. The people with penises, the hierarchy, and us without the lowerarchy. But we little sisters of this and that will always outlast them, because we do what the men are supposed to do, but often don't. You know, all that boring Christ stuff. And we don't spend a fortune on dresses. Never forget, ladies, life doesn't begin at conception. Life begins at 40. This is your little old left-lib nun, Sister Mary Che, saying farewell till next time. Ah, women!
It's time for Breaking Heads.
Oh! Nation's Deer, peculiarly silent on gun control.
Elephant in the room revealed to be Steven Seagal.
Bankrupt Casey Anthony offers child murdering classes to raise cash.
And now the State of the Union with President Kim Jong-un.
Thank you. My fellow North Koreans, this week we held our third nuclear missile test. But more important, last week, as a warning, we released a music video showing the destruction of New York while karaoke track played We Are the World. We are the world. We are the children. We are the ones who make a brighter day. So let's start shooting missiles into the Sea of Japan. That video was meant to scare United States. However, it was taken down due to copyright violations since the images were stolen from Call of Duty video game. I am pleased to tell you that despite reaction of the international community, especially Obama, we will build a video archive to rival MTV and VH1 combined. Our enemy to the south, South Korea, has already gotten 1 billion hits on YouTube with Gangnam Style. North Korea is working on getting its own Psy, although it's hard to find gay techno musician in rogue state where everyone's starving. Sanctions will not stop us. We have a deal with our partners, including China, Carly Mae Jepsen, and that guy who sang the song about Forrest Gump at the Grammys. Nuclear missiles are one thing, but we won't stop till one of our annoying songs gets on New Year's Rockin' Eve with Ryan Seacrest. So, if you have any ideas, call me maybe. Ah, ha, ha.
I'm Marco Rubio.
It's a God-given right. My parents are middle class. My dad, my mother is brave men and women serving in the armed forces. The middle class, from John F. Kennedy to Ronald Reagan, middle class prosperity, jobs, the middle class American, hardworking middle class rich people, working class, middle class families, jobs, hardworking middle class Americans, the middle class jobs, coal, oil, and natural gas. Middle class jobs that are never coming back. My father, my mother, parents, families. My mother, parents, young mothers, the father of their child. My parents, their child, your parents, children. God bless all of you. And may God continue to bless the United States of America. Where a tiny minority always stay on top.
This episode of the Final Edition Radio Hour was performed by Darby Worley, Jen Dodd, John Marshall, Barry Lank, Kevin Janis, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. It was written by John Marshall, Barry Lank, Mike Richardson-Bryan, Paul Seaburn, Jeff Chrysler, and Tony Hendra. Special thanks to Scooter of KPFT in Houston for Rubio Middle Class. Take whatever steps necessary to visit thefinaledition.com often, meaning several times a day, for more sizzling satire with teeth. The Final Edition Radio Hour was produced by Jeff Chrysler and Tony Hendra, and edited and engineered by Greg Russ. The Final Edition Radio Hour is a production of The Final Edition, LLC, copyright 2013.